Hallelujah.
Amen.
I said hallelujah.
Amen.
Are we blessed?
Yes.
Wonderful. Be seated. I'd kindly wish that there's a balance. The ashes make some people move. Those who will come later, let them move to the left side so that we have a fair balance. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Well, we are blessed to be here. Are you happy to be here? I can't feel you. Are you happy to be here? Clap your hands. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. It's joy and a privilege that we can gather and be here for today and tomorrow. And I know that most of you didn't sleep well last night because you were packing garri and sugar and all these type of things. And also, you had to catch your bus. So we need to start now so that the time your sleep comes, you would have covered a bit. What do you think about that? Is it a good idea? All right. Beautiful. So I want to welcome once again everybody. I'm told that we have the furthest people we have are from Apam. Are they here? Apam, can you stand and give the church away? That's our team from Apam. Beautiful. And then also from Swedru, are you here? Our team from Swedru. Oh, clap your hands and welcome the beautiful family. And then from Winneba, can you also clap your hands for them? Team from Winneba. All right. Thank you very much. And then from the Kadesh, can you also welcome yourselves? All right. Thank you. God bless all of us. Amen. We have the pastors and center leaders of the Kodesh also here. They are not here now. They are also having a camp prayer time and teaching around. So they will come in and bring us. They are senior brothers, are they not? So they'll come and say hello to us at a point. Amen. But we are blessed indeed, and we are grateful to God. Let us pray. Father, we are grateful to you for this time. We ask you to be gracious to us. We ask you to come through for us in this beautiful time in your presence. We are asking you to show us grace and show us mercy. We pray that this camp will be a turning round for all of us here. Let our life be changed. Let our visions align with your vision. In the name of Jesus, we are praying this morning that, Lord, you'll be gracious to us and you will be kind to us. We are praying that nobody here will lose focus, but rather we will gain great grace from you. Give us opportunity to serve you better than ever. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So, the theme for the camp is privilege. Hallelujah. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now let's start from verse 7 and verse 8 and verse 9, and then we will memorize verse 10. All right, let's go. In fact, let's start from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, so that we can get the picture very well. Hallelujah. But this is going to be a good time. I smell sweetness in the atmosphere already. Hallelujah. God is going to impact us. And God is going to change us mightily. Right. Bible says, and he hath quickened us. He hath quick, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, those two words mean a lot. But God. Now, if you read, every time you see the word but, it is canceling out or it at variance with what had been said earlier. Do you understand? So when you look at verse number 3, among whom also we had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. By nature, the children of wrath. We are going to understand the word privilege. Can I have an amen? But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he hath loved us, even when we were dead in sins, had quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Clap your hands for the Lord. Hallelujah. Right. And then it goes on to explain what all that means. Now, it goes on to say, verse 7. Now, let's all read from verse 7. Now, ready to go. He must show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Verse 9. Lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. So it's talking about a people who used to be condemned, a people who were not qualified. Hallelujah. But have now been qualified. Tell your neighbor, you're the one they are talking about here. Amen. This is new. We are filling the hall, isn't it? Yeah, getting used. How many of you, this is your first time here at this campus? Can I see your hand? Your first time. Wow. Wow, beautiful. Is it a beautiful campus? Anyway, you have time to look around more. Before we go, everybody should pass through the prayer gardens and say one prayer. Because that place, everybody who prays there, every prayer that is prayed is answered. 100% answered prayer. Amen. Anyway, so the Bible is making us to understand here that we are saved by grace. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation to us. And then verse 7. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. Verse 8. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. Amen. You cannot take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So none of us can boast about it. Amen. And then verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. Hold on, be sure and shake him and tell him you are God's masterpiece. Oh, shake him properly. Hallelujah. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good work, good things he planned for us long ago. Amen. Now, let's all read verse 10 again. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do what he planned for us long ago. Long before you came here, God has planned some good things for you. I didn't hear your amen at all. Long before you came here, God has prepared some good things because you are God's masterpiece. His workmanship, masterpiece. When you're looking for something, if you have a carpenter and they say this is a carpenter's masterpiece, it must be the best thing he's ever done. Amen. The best of the, so if you go to showroom of various companies, artisans and so on, they show you their masterpiece. This is his handiwork. That they call it the showroom. The showroom is the place where you see the best of the product that the person can make. That is the showroom. Amen. And when you see this showroom thing, Pastor John, are you here? When you see the showroom, what this guy can do, then you can trust him with your money. That if this guy can manufacture this, it's very likely he can do a good job. Can I have an amen? Amen. If he can do this beautiful thing, manufacture this beautiful thing, then I can trust him with my money. Amen. Amen. You are God's masterpiece. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Not when you were. You see, God created us first. You know, God in the book of Genesis. Now, that was God's masterpiece that backslid in Genesis. Because see, when it came to the best of God's creation, you know, from beginning to God, in the beginning, heaven and earth, and there was that void and all that and so on. And God said, let there be light. And light came. And all those beautiful things that we see in Genesis chapter 1. And God created everything, the fishes and so on. The last of God's creation was human being in Genesis. After he had, everything was in order. And God said, let us make man. All the time that God was creating these things, we are not told God consulted anybody. But when it came to God's best creation, God said, let us create man. Because I'm about to bring something that has never been beautiful. This is the best of my creation. Amen. So God made Adam and Eve. God created us. And then we see how man backslid. And when man backslid, when Adam fell, and man backslid and began to change everything that God has created, our visions changed. Our desires changed. Amen? Amen. Our wishes, everything that we have, changed. We began to have evil ideas. But that was not what God created in the beginning. Amen. We're created in the image of God. In the image of God. But after the fall, then we see how what happened. Everything got out of control. Man became wild. In fact, I've heard bishops say this over and over again, that apart from demons, the wildest, most uncontrollable creatures of God is human beings. next to demons. We are wilder than lions, wilder than wild animals. Human beings are wild. The thing that was God's best creation had become the wildest. We can chew ourselves. Hey, I tell you, human beings, yeah, we are cannibals. Yeah, some of us, not just physical cannibals of cutting and boiling the person, but our mouth can chew other people. You brought yourself for this camp, President. Are you there? Well, I'm telling you, we are good at chewing one another. Human beings are very, very wild. Very wild. Because what beautiful thing that God created was mad, spoiled by the fall of man. Man became so wild. And the first murder we see in the Bible, that is Cain, took his brother. And the murder that came was born out of jealousy. So all these are, you know, old age sins, jealousy and these type of things. When Cain was unhappy that, hey, how come Abel is serving God better than me? If you better serve God better than you, you also serve God well. Or you know what I'm saying? You also try and serve God well. But rather, he was angry. I know you see, we see in Cain several sins that is very strong in man. One of them was jealousy. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. The another one was pretense, hypocrisy. He was talking with him. Abel didn't know that he was angry. Abel didn't know it. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. He was talking with him. Are you there? And it came to pass when they were in the field. Do you think that if Abel knew that Cain was going to kill him, he would go with him to the garden? He would go with him to church? He would go with him to the field? He would never go. Never. But they were talking as if everything is okay. That is another one of the sins. Pretense and hypocrisy. May God deliver us in the name of Jesus. And then may God deliver us in the name of Jesus. Are you there? He walked with him and they talked. Amen. No, the verses before this one. The verses before this one. Yeah, verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why are you angry? So that is it. Anger is one of the early sins. He was angry. Why are you wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Why is your face changed? What a shock. Hallelujah. And then he said, told him, if you do well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire. And thou shalt end. Thou shalt rule over him. All right. So this was God speaking to Adam, speaking to Cain. Cain was angry because his brother appeared to sing better than him. His brother appeared to be serving God better than him. His brother was giving better offering. You are not giving good offering. You are not paying your tithe. Someone is paying his tithe. And God has blessed him with a car. And then you are jealous and you are angry. And God said, if you do well, will you not be accepted? If you also pay your tithe, will you not be blessed? I'm preaching already. It's introduction, but I'm preaching. I'm warming you up to the camp. Amen. Tell your neighbor that if you do well, you'll be accepted. No, shake it. If you do well, you'll be blessed also. You should make sure that, listen, this can make sure that your neighbor doesn't fall asleep. If your neighbor falls asleep, you and your neighbor will be pondered. Do you understand? So you'll be as guilty as your neighbor. So if you don't want water to go into your skin, and I have chilled water, very cold one. Yeah. If you don't want water to go into your skin, Make sure your neighbor is awake. So make sure you shake him and wake him up. That scripture, if you do well. Can you have the New Living Translation? What it says here? New Living Translation. You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door. It got to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. May you be the master of sin. May you be the master of jealousy, master of anger, master of evil. Somebody say amen. May you subdue the power of darkness in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so we see the next verse, Bible says that, verse 8 now, afterward, the Lord, Cain suggested to his brother, let's go out into the fields. He said, just suggested, let's have a walk. He talked, let's hang out. Yeah. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother, Abel, and killed him. This is the fallen man, the best of God's creation. Look at what has happened to it. We never heard that in the garden, the lion has eaten an antelope. We never read it. The first evil we heard was that brother was killing his brother. Where did they learn it from? We never heard that the cat was chasing the mouse. The first evil we hear was a man killing his brother. May God have mercy on man. I said, may God have mercy on man. But I'm telling you, you see, last Tuesday, I preached a message at the Tuesday service. The title is, Keep This Man. Shall we listen? Listen to it. Keep This Man. I tell you. Because Bible says a man saw another story, another mission altogether. On the battlefield, a man came to my man and said that, keep this man for me. Because if this man escapes, something bad can happen. And then whilst I was busy doing other things, the man escaped. You must listen to it. I have gone home. You see, what you are capable of doing, you have no idea. You know you can surprise yourself. You can do something that you are surprised that I am the one who is doing this. I mean, who can agree with me that you have done something that you want to give yourself a knock? Foolish boy, why did you do this? Because you didn't keep the man. I tell you. Look, you are capable. Brother Matthew, you are capable of doing something that you'll be surprised. That no, it's not me, but you. So very good. That's how it is. All of us are capable. Tony, you are capable. Oh, capable. You can do it. Any evil you can imagine. Any evil you can imagine. The seed of Adam. The seed. But bless God for the last Adam. The second Adam. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Who came to redirect our lives. Amen. Yeah. But I'm saying here as we carry on is the fact that our human nature, the fallen nature of man, you know, that is why when God came to the garden, the first question he asked Adam, what is this that you have done? God was not just looking at Adam and Eve going to eat the fruit or whatever, but God was looking to seeing the effect of what they have done. There are some things that it has far-reaching effects. It can reach your father, your mother, your child, your grandchildren. So when God says, hey, Adam, what is this that you have done? Do you know the effect of what you have done? Yeah. The other day, I had, there was some food on my table. It was on a... It was in a carrier bag. And then when I don't know what in the bedroom or whatever, when I came, one of my sons was eating. eating all the food on there. It was in a carrier bag, taking it out of the paper bag and eating. And when I said, hey, what is it that you have done? Because I took the food and I realized that it was going off, it was spoiling. Salad. And was eating it. So you see, it's not my food that was bad, the fact that this time he has eaten. Before I could finish speaking, he was going to the toilet. And he couldn't step out that day. Because I knew the effect of the food. So I'm not worried about the food, but the effect of the food on him. The whole day, my stomach. What is it that you have done? Tell me. It is not the, it can't say God is jealous about the fruit. I mean, God has created the whole world. Everything in the garden was created by God. Why should God be worried about just one food that the guy has eaten? But God's looking at the far-reaching effects. You know what I'm saying? Are you all awake? Or are you? Yeah. God was looking at the far-reaching effects of what Adam has done. God said, Me, what is this that you have done? What is this that you have done? The effect of this thing that you have eaten, this salad, you have spoiled your day. He stayed at home the whole day. He said, I have to go to this. I have this meeting to go. I have this follow-up. I have to go. He said, I can't go. When he attempted to go into the car, no, then he's come back. But he was eating the food. He was eating it. But I knew that this food, I don't know, I was because it had been, I think I went somewhere and they put it in my car and I was just going to tell the guy, throw it away. But by the time I went out and came, I went to the bedroom and came, he was eating it. You see, young boy, they don't see when the food is going off. They're eating it. My first question is that, Jeremy, what is this that you have done? What is this? Oh, daddy, you are going to, no, I wasn't going to eat it. Don't worry about me. Don't worry about me. You are the one I'm thinking about, not me. He thought that when I said, why have you eaten it? So, I'm sorry. I didn't know you're going. No, I'm not going to eat it at all. But I can see the effect of it. The effect of it. So that's what God asked Adam. What is this? Because God could see murders, jealousies, divorces, killings, fightings, gossips. Oh, God could see what was going on. Wars. As Adam and Eve were eating the fruit, one fruit that we're eating, God could see wars. God could see the war in Rwanda. God could see the wars in Liberia. God could see the cutting of hands in Sierra Leone. God could see far down the road. That's what God said. Adam, what is it that you have done? You have no idea. This mistake you've made. Are you with me? Are you here or go home? God was looking down into history. Look, and say, hey, you have no idea. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Are we still here? Hold your neighbor's shoulder and shake him and ask him, what is it that you have? What is it that you have done? What is it that you have done? Yes. What is this? Huh? There are some things when you say them, it can affect you. It affects not only you. You see, selfishness is when you don't care how it affects somebody else. I'm the one. I don't care about this. It's selfishness. It's my life. Selfishness. And you see, husband and wife, I'm living, I don't care. You can't talk to me like that. I'm packing my things. Selfishness will make you walk away when your children are there. Selfish, you're thinking about yourself. I don't want him to talk to me by heart. I'm leaving. And your two little children are looking at you. And God is looking and seeing that these children, if it's not for grace, they become wayward and rebellious. Many of us came from broken homes. It's the grace of God, though. The grace which has brought us here. I'm telling you. So every step you take, think before you take the step. Amen. Think through it. Because Adam and Eve didn't think through it.
They didn't think that the eating of this little thing, this small wache, small yokagari, it was going to affect generations, the whole world. The whole world is going to be affected. Put your hand on yourself and pray. Say, Lord, show me mercy. Deliver me from disaster. Deliver me from mistake that will cause disaster. Hallelujah. Listen, God will take care of the sicknesses, diseases, wars, fightings, deaths, accidents on the roads. All of it was caused by Adam. Just one meal he ate. I heard one man of God saying that if I go to heaven, I'm going to give Adam a slap. He never forget. All the evil desires. Sometimes, the man of God says, sometimes I feel I'm committing fornication. Because of Adam, I will give Adam a slap. Sometimes, I will do. And the man of God said, all his bad thoughts, only because of Adam. So when I go to heaven, I ask Angie Michael permission and give Adam one slap. What a shock. You concur? Adam, he has worried us all. Hasn't he worried you? That you cannot concentrate on your wife because of Adam. Because that desire, it's for Adam. If it's only for Adam, we will not have any of these things. I dream bonnie. Bad thoughts. Because of Adam. Adam, he has worried us. I agree with the man. When I go to heaven, and then we confess our sins. Oh, you don't get what I'm saying? Oh, you are free from Adam. Adam hasn't worried you, eh?
Yeah. Because of Adam. Because of Adam.
Bad ideas. Bad I occurring to you. You got power, Adam. You have worried us.
You got all these problems. What is this that you have done?
Are you there? Anyway, sit down.
It's not Adam, please. It's Adam.
Hallelujah.
And listen to what Adam said. It is not me. It's a woman.
Are you there? And the woman said what? It's a serpent. And the serpent could not talk. And so he went to hell. What a shock. It's always somebody else's fault, isn't it? Amen. Anyway, so I'm just saying to all of us here that we see the effect of this fall. It changed the vision that God has for man. Because as you read, you were his workmanship. You know, when God created you, he has something in his mind. God has something in his mind when he made Adam and Eve. But their sin turned it out, spoiled all of the plans that God had for them, for man. Everything was spoiled. When chapter 4. Yeah. Cain and Abel again. Go chapter 4. All right. And Cain talked with brother and killed him. Verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? You are asking God a question. This is the first question man asked God. There are several questions in the Bible. This is one of the first questions man asked God. What is God saying? Am I my brother's keeper? If he doesn't come to church, is it my fault? He didn't come. I'm here. Am I my brother's keeper? Foolish boy. Am I my brother's keeper? I saw some of the WhatsApp, please wake up one another. I'm sure someone was saying, am I my brother's keeper? If he sleeps and the bar sleeps him, is it my fault?
Am I my brother? This is what Cain, this is the question that Cain asked. Am I my brother's keeper? What a shock.
Sometimes when I wake up, my wife and wake up early, and then my wife wakes up and says, oh, why didn't you wake me up? I feel like saying what Cain said. Am I my wife's keeper?
What a shock.
Quite a lot of times I say, oh, it's late. Hey, you should wake me up. It's in the Bible.
I want to tell you what is in the Bible.
Am I my brother's keeper? And then verse 10. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. The voice of your brother's blood. Blood has a voice.
I said, blood has a voice. Amen.
God said, the voice of thy brother, his blood, is speaking to me. His blood is speaking against you, calling me for vengeance. Amen. And you look at, you go on, God was very, very, very unhappy with his boy. And one of the saddest scriptures, I have four very sad scriptures in the Bible that I think about a lot. Four. One of them is here in Genesis chapter 4. And the Bible says, and Cain said unto that from verse 11, and now you are cursed from the earth, which had opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it will not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. That's why our salary is not enough. Because of this thing. When you work on the ground, it will not yield its strength. Curses the award, though. Don't joke with curses at all. Look at it. When you till the ground, I want the New Living Translation so that all of you can understand, especially those who are sleeping. When the New Living Translation, NLT, I don't have it in Genesis, all right. No longer would the ground yield good crops for you. Yeah. All these thorns and these things, they are not in the Bible. But the ground is not able to bring its crops. No matter how hard you work. Can you see? Raph, can you see our problem here? I'm sure the genesis of our problem. When you meet somebody who says that, as for me, my vision is to be a millionaire. We are waiting for you. That was not God's original plan. Yeah. My vision, keep working. You will be blessed, but it's not going to come easy. No matter how hard you work, your cross will never be enough. Some of you by 10th, your salary is finished. 10th. By 15th. When it gets to 18th, then it is a miracle. 18th. Hey, are you here or going home? From now on, you will be homeless wanderer on the earth. You'll be homeless wanderer. This is the curse that was spoken over Cain. Verse number, where are we? 13. And Cain said to God, he's replying God again, isn't it? My punishment is too great for me to bear. Yeah. Ochia? Yeah, you're not speaking the truth. When we advise you, you didn't hear. But the way you advise people and they are not listening, leave them. They will come to realize that, Charlie, it's not easy to disobey. Yeah. When somebody is misbehaving, you talk to a person, leave me, I'll do what I like. They have not thought through what they are saying. They have not thought through it. Are you with me? They have not thought through it. If you think through, you stop misbehaving. I'm telling you. I know I'll never talk to him again. Yeah. I'll never talk to you again. Leave me. Yeah. You have not thought through what you are saying. You have not thought through the effect of what you are doing. I'll beat him. I'll kill him right now. Kill him and let's see. Kill him and let's see. Think before you talk. Tell your neighbor, think before you talk. Think before you talk. Tell your neighbor, tell her. Some of you talk by heart. Now, talk about heart talking, you know how to speak. Are you there? Total wawuzi. Now, I'm telling you, think before you talk. Yeah, I'm going. And you are going. Keep going. You say you are going, go. Yeah. I can never forget the day Aisha sat in the house of a lecturer in Kumasi, UST. He told me to talk to his son, who was becoming rebellious and stubborn. He said, I can't control my son. A young boy, 18, 19 years old. Your father can't control you. You're doing what you like. And a big lecturer, said, Pastor, talk to my son for me. I sat down. The man was sitting here. I was sitting here. His son was sitting there. Call him. Could you come and sit down? He came and sat down. And as I was talking, bam, himself came. The boy. Hey, got up. So, because as I was talking, I kept on looking at his watch as I am talking to him. You know, the way they look at the watch this way so that you can see that they are looking at the watch. Looking at the watch like this. It's like, please, end the sermon. End the sermon and let me go and do what is important to me. End the message and let me go. You know, sometimes a lot of young people think that their mothers talk too much. Isn't it true? Yeah. My mother is menopause, isn't it? She's struggling with menopause. Yeah. This woman. So they said this, they even called their mother this woman. She talks too much. I also thought so. My mother, she talks. But as I've grown, I wish I'd even talk more. I'm telling you. We all think that our mother, they talk too much. This guy was thinking that I'm talking too much. How many of you thought your mother talks too much? Stand up. Speak the truth.
Yes.
Have you told her before that, Mommy, you talk too much?
Yes.
What did you tell? We are listening to you.
That she talks too much.
About what? One thing she'll say several times. Is your mother here or she didn't come? She talks too much. I don't want to see
you.
Yeah. I know your mother, she talks quite a bit, but I'm telling you that it's for your good. What a shock. It is for your good. Amen. Yeah, so as I was talking to this gentleman, this young boy, I could see that he felt I'm talking too much. Also, does he? Just finish talking and then let's end the whole story. Now, as I kept on talking, the boy got up. It's like, no, and I can't take it anymore. I'm going. He walked out. He was walking. The father was shocked. He said, hey, Kojo, where are you going? The guy was, he got to the door. The door was shut. I mean, closed the door. And then the boy held the knob of the door, about to open the door. And the father said, Kojo, don't open that door. Don't go. Don't walk out on the pastor and on myself. It showed me disrespect now. You are taking to the pastor. Don't walk out on us. Kojo stood at the door for maybe 10, 20 seconds. And he kept on, as the father was talking, he kept on pushing the door open. At a point, he just actually opened the door like that. And the father said, if you go out, don't come through that door again. Don't come back. Today, because the father felt embarrassed. The father felt ashamed that as he has invited the pastor to come to the house, Look at the way my son is misbehaving. Show me disrespect, but don't show the pastor. Don't show the pastor. He just walked out. Walked out. And the father, if you don't come back, because I thought that that would be enough caution for the boy. So people, did nothing you say will change their minds. Nothing you say will change their minds. As the father spoke, the boy stepped out, looked at me, looked at the father, and slammed the door and walked out. So I was sitting, the father was sitting, we were looking at each other like two toks. What a shock. We are looking like two fools. We don't know. I don't know what to tell the father. He also didn't know what to say. He was saying, oh, pastor, I'm very sorry. I said, oh, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. God is in control. I mean, you have to find something to say. You know what I'm saying? God is in control and all that. He just walked out. A few years later, I heard that Kojo was mad. From Kumasi, now walking the streets of Accra, he had attempted even to kill his own sister. Yeah. He used the knife, drove the knife through the sister. The sister had a big mark on the face. Like that. Yeah. And now he's mad. And his father's words, when you go out, don't come back. Look, everybody, somebody will be able to talk to you. Look at Cain. Before he got there, God was said, Cain, don't be angry. Do the right thing. That is what's important. I thought that God speaking to Cain would let Cain change his mind, but he didn't change his mind. You are angry with your brother because God said, if you do the right thing, will you also not be blessed? Will not be accepted? Instead of changing his mind, he rather took it on his brother. Hello? Are you at the camp? Are you here? Yeah. You're going to get your privilege. I'm laying a good foundation. Hallelujah. Are you with me today? I mean, God has spoken earlier. The curse that came on Cain was not the first time God spoke to him. It was the first time. God has spoken to him earlier. God said, I told Cain that don't be angry. If the brother did what is right, and I've blessed him. If he also do the right, he'll be blessed. But nobody could advise him. May you never get to a point where nobody can advise you. Place your hands on your head and pray. Say, Lord, be merciful to me. Let me be advisable. Let me be advisable. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Because, Pastor Justice, you are not always right. Yesterday in the night, around 12, I was speaking to a pastor far away. And we're talking, and he began to argue with me. Argue with Bishop E.A.T. Saki. We're three on the phone. Myself, another bishop, and this pastor. And we're talking, what he was saying was not, if you like, he has not gone to kill somebody or committed fornication or adultery. I was just correcting about, telling about something that I believe the right thing to do. And kept it, when I talk, I said, wait, let me talk. I said, oh, let me also make my point. I was sitting, I came in, I was sitting in my car, and it was back and forth. And he told me that his words were that I am also a son of Bishop Dag. What a shock. I know, and I know the vision. I'm also a son of Bishop Dag. I said, you are very disrespectful. Then he was quiet. I said, okay, I'm sorry, but I want to make my point. You're too far away for water, I tell you. Now, some things, you don't need water. You need more than water. Mm-hmm. Are you there? I mean, he kept on talking. And he kept on. And then the other bishop was even surprised. So when the phone just cuts. And then God is connected. And then the bishop came and said, Bishop, I'm so sorry. I said, no, don't worry. Don't worry at all. Don't worry. Let him talk. I will talk. He will talk. I will talk. Then we reconnected. The phone was reconnected. And then we kept on talking. And then he said, I said, there's something wrong with your mind. I'm saying that he has not gone to steal money. He has not gone to do bad. The way he was talking, there was something wrong with his mind. Are you hearing what I'm saying? No, look, the point I'm making to you is that if you cannot be talked to, as this boy, I was talking to him and his in front of his father, and he walked up going out. Father said, if you go, don't come back. Even the father didn't know the effect of his word. Until I heard that the boy is mad, walking the streets of Accra. I'm telling you. Are you here? Are you here? I said, are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm going to, just introduction. I said, introduction. I tell you. Listen, the first time God spoke to Cain was not about the curse. He had warned him earlier. He had warned him, if you do right, you'll be. If you do your work well, I'll be happy with you. So if you can't stand correction, you can't stand rebuke. I said, we're talking about privilege. It's a privilege to be corrected, I tell you. Are you here or going home? Yes. Yes. He couldn't stand it. And then second time God spoke. And this is what God said. I told you, Cain, that if you do that right, look at what you have done. You're going to kill your brother. And I say that you are going to walk aimlessly on earth. The ground you work, it will not bring enough fruit. You work, no results. That's what's going to happen. And now, listen to Cain. His reply. Hey, look at this reply quickly as we just wrap up this one. He says what? Cain replied to the Lord, my punishment is too great. You are now talking about the punishment too great. When God was warning you, didn't listen. Speaking to you, didn't listen. Now you say my punishment is too great for me. Look at the next verse. Look at the next verse. You have banished me from the land from your presence. You have made me homeless wanderer. Anyone who finds me will kill me. This is what he's saying. Where did the word kill come from? He can introduce killing. Now you see, afraid that he'll be killed. The thing that you talk about, that's the thing that you do, that's what will come against you. Now you have killed you. He said, anyone who finds me. There was no killing in the world until he killed his brother. Now he said, anybody who finds me will kill me. That's what he's saying. The verse that scares me, the next verse. The Lord replied, no one. Sevenfold punishment will come on the person. The next one, the next verse. The next verse. So Cain left the Lord's presence. I told you there are four verses that scare me. One of them is this verse. The whole Bible, four verses that scare me. King James. Quickly. And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. It's one of the most scary verses. There are four. This is one of them. No matter what you do wrong, never walk from the presence of the Lord. No matter what mistake you make, never go away. And Cain walked away from the presence of the Lord. It scares me. Even if I make the worst mistake in the world, may I never walk away from the presence of the Lord. Yeah. That's what made David different. David said, the Lord, where shall I go? I don't even know where to go. Take no Holy Spirit from me. I want to be in your presence. In my mistake, in my every evil. I never want to walk out from the presence of the Lord. Some of you get angry. You don't even come to church. Your center that talks to you and you're upset. I won't come. I'll go to my Zion. I dissolved one of the choirs in church. I dissolved it. And I said, somebody, one of them said that she's going to another church. She's leaving the church. What you're talking is this? Because I've dissolved the choir, you are moving to another church. I won't come again. Look, don't say things that will cost you later. Sit down. Well, we're happy to have Bishop Ni Ajedu. Let's welcome Bishop. Stand to your feet and let's welcome Bishop Ni Ajedu to bring us very, very special greetings. He's the Bishop of the Kodesh. Hallelujah.
And I told you that our senior brothers are here. Isn't it? Yeah. Our senior brothers are here. So we are happy to have them. Everything we are, we came out of them. You can never, 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 never take it away. If no matter who you are, you have a father. You have a father. Can I have an amen? So we are blessed to have the Kodesh, our senior brother. We are called Kodesh Family Church. So we are part of the family. Amen. So we came. The genes is there. Clap your hands and let's welcome Bishop Nitu. Bring us very special greeting.